You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
Well, welcome all of you. We're glad you're here today. Super excited to be together. And we're in the middle of this series. We're actually wrapping it up today. It's been a little short. Because of the weather, but we're talking about community, and we're in a series called This Is We, and we're talking about what does it mean to be the church, and we've been talking about, kind of last 2 weeks, Ryan's been sharing, the fact that a lot of times church just becomes going to a weekly meeting, and if you've ever been to a meeting before at all, you realize that they're largely like a waste of time, right? And they don't really deal with the real issues that they often try to or attempt to deal with. And a lot of times when church is just a meeting, it doesn't really get into the tragedy, the insecurity, the difficult events in our life. Am I right or am I wrong? Call me out if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's been true in my life. And, you know, last week Ryan kind of shared with us that the difference between going to a meeting and belonging to a movement is huge. And that Jesus really intentionally wanted the church to be a movement. He wanted the church to be something that was living and breathing and active and not something that was rote and kind of set in stone that, okay, church is about coming together on Sundays. No, church is about whenever two or three are gathered in my name, whenever Jesus says, whenever you guys are together because of me, there I am also. That's the church. And so we've been talking about, what does that look like for us as a church? And are we living up to that? And so today I want to talk a little bit about how does the church and the community, as a community, kind of face up to those real life events? How do we as a community help each other deal with the tragedy, the hopelessness that sometimes enters into our lives, you know? And I want to kind of begin by throwing this image up there, if we could. I may regret this. Let me just say that. How many of you have seen this image? I mean, this was everywhere. And so I don't really want to talk about what I think about this because y'all don't need another opinion on it. Am I right? But it's so interesting to me because this was, what, 5 minutes of an event that happened, tops, where, you know, a group of protesters were encountered by a group of high school students. And then our internet society, or maybe the society in general, spent a whole 2 weeks trying to figure out and make sense of what actually happened, right? And I'm going to make a claim here that it's not really difficult to live through events in our lives. What's difficult is trying to make sense of them in the aftermath. I mean, maybe that's not true for you, but it was true for me when my mom was diagnosed with cancer. It was a weird day. I was at work, and my mom called me out of the blue. Red flag number one, my mom don't call me ever. I call her. That's right. And so my mom calls me and is like, hey, I need you to get off work and come to the house. And so I am freaking out. I'm like, what is going on? I was thinking divorce. We're going to lose the house. We're going to lose the job. You know, my brother's in the hospital. I was thinking the worst things possible. So when I walked into that room, my mom was so calm, man. My mom, I cannot say enough good things about my mom. She had it together, and she was just like, you know, I've been diagnosed with cancer. You know, it's about stage 2. And honestly, I was relieved because I've been working up so much in my mind, this terrible, awful things that were happening. It was honestly a relief. But what was difficult was the months after that, the questions that came up. And watching my family struggle as my mom's self-esteem and my mom's energy levels were depleted, and she just couldn't be herself like she wanted to be. And eventually, she couldn't move her shoulder about past here. And it was just really tough because I couldn't do anything to help her, you know? Have you ever been there? I'm sure you have. And, you know, I saw the strain on my dad and my family, and I began to ask the question, you know, God, why? Why you got to let this happen? My mom is the best Christian I know, best lady I know. And I was just like, how is this fair? How is this right? And I think that for you all, because some of you have been open enough and we've gotten close enough for you to share your story with me, I know that you're going through something like that, or you have in the past. I don't know if it's, you know, somebody in your family committed suicide. I don't know if it's you're experiencing a death in the family right now. I don't know if it is maybe that you're dealing with some kind of family trauma from abuse or a hopeless situation. I don't know if it's as simple as, you know, you were hoping for that job promotion. You needed that finances to come in and it didn't happen. You know, I don't know where you're at, what kind of tragedy or hopelessness that you're dealing with today. But I think the question for us all is what do we do in the aftermath? How do we answer those big questions of, God, why did this happen? And how do we move forward? And, you know, I'm not going to act like I have a ton of answers. But I do have this story from the scriptures that I think shows us how community is supposed to be in those times. Because oftentimes with the situation of Phillips and those high school students, it takes one perspective to understand an event in our lives. And a lot of times, I don't know if you do this, but someone will say something to me in a few minute conversation, and I'll be dealing with that for months. Somebody makes fun of me, somebody makes a snide comment, and I'm up here just dwelling on it all the time. And it can be little stuff like that. It can be big stuff like cancer, like illness that I'm up here dealing with. And it's really hard to make sense of the trauma in our lives when it's just you, yourself, and you, or me, myself, and I. It's difficult to understand and make sense of the tragedy or the hopelessness in our situation. And we're going to see that in our story today. There's two friends who had left their homes and their jobs and their families to follow this guy named Jesus. And some of you may not know this about Jesus, but with the situation in Israel at the time, they were in a politically oppressed situation. The Roman government had taken over the Judean province, and a lot of the freedoms that they used to have, they did not have. They were extremely heavily taxed, and so they were longing for a Messiah, or someone to come in and take over and redeem or renew the Jewish nation. And so that's what they were longing for. That's what they were looking for. And so what happened was when Jesus started performing miracles and speaking out against the rulers and the authorities of the time, they thought, here it is. Here's the Messiah. Here's Jesus coming to set up the new Israel, the new nation that's going to give us back our freedoms, that's going to allow us to not be heavily taxed. And so they placed a lot of their hopes and faith in Jesus. And when he came into Jerusalem, the capital, they thought, this is it. And so these two friends came out to be a part of the new society that Jesus was going to set up. They had a lot of hope in that new society. But what they didn't realize, and what really nobody realized, is that Jesus wasn't there to set up a new society that was top down. He was there to set up a new society that was bottom up, from the ground up, changing people, not from the top down. And so what happened was is that he was really spooking out the authorities. So they had him killed. They had him brutally, viciously murdered and beaten publicly. And so these two friends have had their hopes crushed, and everything that they have bought into, they've left their homes and families to believe in this Jesus who was going to set up a new society, and now he's dead. And so that's where we meet them today on the road, in hopelessness and confusion, trying to understand, God, why? This Jesus, he seemed like the right guy for the job. He seemed like he was going to bring us hope and redeem us, but now we're left with the death of our friend and our mentor, and we don't know what to do. And so that's where we pick up on the story with them. And so if you want to read with me, you can turn to Luke 24, 13 through 35. And we'll be reading there today. And if not, it'll be on the screen. And so this is how it starts out in verse 13. It says, that same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the villas of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came up and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. And he asked them, Jesus kind of playing stupid. I like it. It's funny. What are you discussing so intently as you walk along? And they stopped short, and sadness was written all over their faces. And then one of them said, His name was Cleopas. He replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened in the last few days. Like, dude, have you been living under a rock?" Like, somebody was just brutally murdered publicly. Like, where have you been? Has your phone been off? Have you not been getting text alerts? And Jesus plays stupid here. He says, "What things? You know, what's going on?" Jesus asked. And they said, "The things that happened to Jesus, the man who was from Nazareth." Now, remember that they think this is a total stranger. God has kept them from recognizing that it's Jesus. And they tell him all about this Jesus guy. He said he was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the Messiah who would come to rescue the nation of Israel. And this all happened 3 days ago. And they said, "Then some of our women amazed us." Some of the women from our group of his followers were at the tomb earlier in the morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus was alive. But some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone. Just as the women had said, but Jesus was still missing. And so they're confused about this situation that's happened, this tragedy. They're trying to figure out why this had happened and what was going on. And then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" And then Jesus took them through all the writings of Moses and all the prophets, so basically the Old Testament, explaining from all the scriptures the things about himself. And by this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. And Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, they're like, "Stay the night with us, since it's getting late." And so he went with them, and as they sat down to eat, he took the bread and he blessed it. And then he broke it and gave it to them. And suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem, and there they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has risen. He appeared to Peter." And so, Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And so, what do we have here? I think the reason maybe why Luke wrote this down is that I think it gives us a vision of how we can not only deal with tragedy, but what our call is to be as a church community. And the truth is that no matter what, a single perspective can't understand the whole of a story. And I believe the truth is for our lives is that you, in your own mind, you may not be able to make sense of what's happened to you in your life. It's kind of like this. And, you know, I went to college, and I part of what I researched and studied was global poverty. And so one of these books is The Promise of a Pencil, and it tells a story about a guy who kind of begins to solve it in a small way. But if I had just read this, would I be, like, able to make sense of global poverty and solve it? Absolutely not. And the truth is that we need each other's stories to make sense of our own. We need to share our stories with one another to be able to make sense of our own. And we see that here in the story. One thing that kind of jumps out to me here is that Jesus meets them right where they're at. And the truth is, folks, you don't have to come to a church meeting for Jesus to meet you right where you're at. You know, Jesus comes out of the woodwork to meet us, even in the form of a stranger. God can still speak to us. I recently had this experience. He's not here today, I don't think, unless he is. Surprise, surprise. Is this guy named Gio. He's been kind of around here. He plays on Tuesday nights at our recovery church. Cool dude, a lot of talent. I'll give him a little shout out here. But we were hanging out one night, and he invited me into his place. And we really didn't know each other at the time. And we were kind of sharing each other's stories, you know, where we had been. And I was opening it up to him kind of about my insecurity about this whole pastor thing. Because, you know, guys, I'm 22, and, like, one bad thing has happened to me in my life. So, like, how am I supposed to help any of you? Like, you know, I feel super insecure about that. And I didn't want to talk about it. But I just began opening up to him. And he just listened to me, man. And he said something to me that really wasn't from him, you know? He said, you know what? If God wanted you to go through all that, you know, there's plenty of people who have been through drugs and alcohol addiction. There's plenty of people who have been through that. But God has wants you to use your life to help others, no matter what that life is. You don't need to go through tragedy. You also don't, you know, need to go through perfection in order to be useful to God. He uses everybody, no matter what their story. And it hit me like, oh man, like, it's not just Gio speaking to me. The Holy Spirit in Gio and the Holy Spirit in me is speaking to each other. And I'm beginning to see Jesus in this stranger. And the beautiful thing about community is that no matter what we've gone through, no matter what kind of confusion or hopelessness is in our life, guarantee you, there's somebody in this room who knows where you're at. We're not alone. And I think that the beautiful thing that the church is called to be is a place where no matter what your story is, you are free to share it here without judgment and without restraint. And that there will be somebody here who's gone before you, maybe, who can help you make sense of what you're going through right now. I mean, don't take it from me, because I don't really know a lot. But what I saw in my mom's story is that her faith gave her handles for dealing with her cancer. We never got the answer to, God, why did this happen? I don't know. Life is absurd. There's a lot of tragedy. And we never got the answer to, okay, what purpose did the cancer have? Did God put that there? Did he not? Bigger question than I can answer. Let me just say, I don't believe God put tragedy in our lives. I believe God uses tragedy afterwards to make good. And that's what I see in my mom's life. You know, she right now, she's a spiritual support person at our local hospital. She's basically a chaplain. And out of her pain, and out of that difficult time in her life, she now walks into patients' rooms where they're lying on maybe an operating table. They're lying on a hospital bed, not knowing what's next. And she could say, hey, I made it out. And this is what got me through it. And I watched the community of our church surround our family and provide meals and sit with my mom and talk with her, those who had already gone through it. And, you know, it didn't solve anything. It didn't make her pain, like, go away. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that community is going to solve all of our problems. But I think in community, we have the opportunity to begin to try to make sense of our story. And it's only by being open enough to tell our story to others and to listen to others' stories that we can really begin to move forward as the people of God. And it's only when Cleopas and his friend open up to the stranger that Jesus meets them. You know, we have sometimes in the church have talked so much about individual salvation that we forget that we need each other. That salvation is a corporate thing. That the healing that comes from Jesus isn't just straight down, but it's in and out. It's perpendicular too. It works both ways. And I think the beautiful thing is here in Matthew 18:20, if you would turn with me there, or it's going to be on the screen, where Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, for where two or three or more of you gather together as my followers, I am there among you. And it's when Cleopas and his friends start discussing this difficult tragedy, they're confused about why all this had happened to them, and they're trying to make sense of it. That's when Jesus shows up in the form of a stranger. And the scary thing about church, is opening yourselves up. I'm not going to lie about that. But I really believe in my own life, when I read the scriptures, that when you come together, like Ryan talked about last week, with two or three close friends of yours, and you begin to open up the scriptures, and you begin to open up about your life, it might give you handles for how to deal with your story. And the reason why we have, you know, the Bible is because these were people who really believed that they saw God and who God really spoke to about tragedy. Have you ever read Job? That's a tragedy, man. And so we have this as a resource for ourselves, and we have each other as a resource to begin to make sense of an absurd life sometimes. And so I don't know what you're going through today. I have no idea. And a lot of you, I don't know how you get through it. But I do know that this is a place where if you're going through something, you don't got to be alone. That we are here for you as a staff, as a prayer team, as a church, as a community. And if we can transition from being a place where we meet on Sundays to a movement that begins to break into people's lives, I believe we'll begin to see the life change that we all want and we all talk about. And so the invitation from God, the gift of the Christian community, is that we're never alone. No matter what we're going through, we never have to be alone. And it doesn't solve all of our problems. Trust me. But we are here for you no matter where you're at today. And so I'm going to call the prayer team forward. As we close, if there's something in your life that you're wrestling with, that you can't make sense of, that you're struggling with, if you've got insecurity and fear that you're dealing with, man, this is the place to deal with it. This is the opportunity. And we aren't going to judge. We don't have time for that. We've got our own stuff to deal with. So if you're in that space today, the opportunity for community is here. And I challenge you through this week, you know, if it's not here, you know, it's not only Jesus who is called to meet people on the road to Emmaus. It's we who are called to meet people in our workplaces. If we have been changed by Christ, if God has spoken to us and helped us deal with the messed up stuff in our life, we have a call then to meet people right where they're at and not wait for them to come in this building, but be out there ready to meet them and say, hey, I know this Jesus who's changed me. But first, listen to their story and see where they're at. And so I challenge you today, find, you know, Jesus is revealed to them when they sit at the table, right? Find a table. Maybe it's at a coffee shop. Maybe it's at your workplace. Maybe it's at your home. And begin to share the stories, your story, and maybe it'll help make sense of your own. And so if you will, stand with me and we'll pray. God, I thank you that you are a God who does not see our stories as useless or as irrelevant, but who wants to use our stories to redeem the world. And there's a lot of brokenness, Lord, and a lot of confusion going on right now in people's lives. So I pray that your peace would come upon them. I pray that they would experience your hope right now, Lord. That you would give them, as Jesus did, a new hope in place of their old one. Lord, would you help us be a better community? Would you help us be open enough and being humble enough and being brave enough to share our stories with other people and to listen to theirs? And would you show up? Because we need more of your presence in our lives. It is in your powerful name that we pray. Amen.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.